Welcome to the Loveland Libcast, the official podcast of the Loveland Public Library.
Welcome, everybody, to the Loveland Libcast. For this month, March, we are talking about 50 Pies, 50 States by Stacy May Yan Fong. And we have Bryn here, like last month, like February. This is her second month. She didn't totally quit the podcast gig. So she's here again, and she's going to introduce a very secret special guest.
Glad to be here. And today we also have Levi with us, who's a regular patron in the Teen Hangout. We're always excited to see Levi. And I learned recently that Levi was the winner of the Cherry Pie Festival last summer. And so we convinced him to join us since we're featuring pies this month for Pie Day.
Welcome, Levi.
Hello.
How does it feel to be here, Levi?
I don't know. Pretty nerve-wracking because I've never been on a podcast before. So
Yeah. I relate to that.
Yeah. Bryn's was last month was Bryn's first podcast, and she was feeling this similarly. So the second Thursday of the month happens to be Pi Day, which is March 14th, Pi Day. And Bryn was like, I know who we should have on as a special guest. Almost instantly, she thought of you, Levi, as a baking star. So we're going to ask you some stuff about baking. Okay. Do you remember the first time that you baked anything? Like, did you grow up baking with your parents? Where did your interest in baking come from, do you think?
When I baked something for the first time was like, I made a big, huge chocolate chip cookie. It looked like the size of a pizza.
Circular though, not in a, was it in a sheet pan, but was still circular?
Yeah, it was in a circular. It was in a, I don't know how to say this, it's like a spring lock.
Mm-hmm. Springform.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, that was the first time I made it, and I made it like a few years ago. That's like the first time I actually made something for myself, and it was like pretty hard.
Yeah.
But
how thick was it? Like cake thickness or cookie thickness?
Like cookie thickness, but like a small bit thicker.
Yeah.
Like, I know you can't see it,
but like half an inch maybe, or something like that.
Crunchy cookie.
It was crunchy cookie if you cooked it right, but if you didn't, it'd be a little soft, but it would still be good.
Why did you want to make that big giant cookie? Was it for someone's birthday or something special?
I was going to this family reunion. I went to my uncle's house, and he's also like making this huge thing, like a garage in the backyard or something, and I was going there to help him with that. And so I wanted to bring something, so I made the cookie, and it was pretty good. It wasn't like a party or anything. You didn't have to bring something. I just like had the motivation to bring something.
And then you've been baking pretty seriously since then.
Yes.
Yeah.
And beyond baking even too, because you've talked about your candy making experiments.
Tell me about that.
Okay. So the worst like candy fail was when I tried to make peppermints with my dad on Christmas. I didn't know how to make peppermints. I thought you just like, well, I did the recipe right. I put all that, everything together.
Before we go on, what are the ingredients of peppermints? Like what, I have no concept. Do you remember?
So I know that there's corn syrup.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Okay. And peppermint, like, well, sugar, peppermint, like extract, corn syrup. And that's like basically
that's
the
main,
that's like all you need. It's pretty easy to make candy. It's just like really hard.
are these like the peppermints that you get like in dinner mints that are the round ones that are typically red and white? Were they like that type of peppermint?
No, it was like the one like that's like long.
Oh, like candy cane.
Candy cane. That's what it is.
Okay. Yeah, peppermint. Yeah. Okay. So you have, sorry for interrupting. You have all of the ingredients.
And then all I made together. It. Uh-huh. So what we did was we just made it and we made the shapes and we thought they were just going to harden by themselves. Mm-hmm. They weren't hardening. They were like getting really chewy. So we took them and put them in the freezer, and they're still in our freezer to this day. And if you take them out, they're still chewy. It's because what you have to do with, I learned this recently, when you're making candy canes, there's like, usually like professional, they have like an iron hook on the wall, and you take your like, wish I could like say, I can't describe it. It's like a
lump.
A lump, yes. And then like you take your candy cane, you throw it over the hook, and then you turn it and keep throwing it and stretching it, and it will make it harder, and then it will set, just like when you're making chocolate.
What do you mean, just like when you're making chocolate? Do you have to do something to make chocolate harden?
Yes. You have to temper chocolate. When you're not tempering chocolate, it's chewy and it melts in your hands easily.
I just want to say how much I admire your courage for trying something like candy canes.
Yeah, I would have never thought to make candy canes.
Kind of going off topic here, I told Bryn this yesterday, that how I made coconut macaroons. It's supposedly supposed to be really hard. Because I thought they, do you know what a whoopie pie looks like? It's like, yeah, I thought they were going to look like that kind of macaroon.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. But it didn't look like that macaroon. And I actually just like realized a few days ago that I actually did it right. And it's supposed to be like coconut. Mm-hmm. And it's like a little like
a totally different type of cookie.
So completely mixed. Yeah. It's a difference of one O in a word, but a really big difference in the actual product. Did you like the taste of the macaroons that you actually made?
Yeah. I mean, they weren't like hardened. They were just like hardened. They weren't like, they were just lumps.
Yeah. Yeah. But macaroons are kind of supposed to be lumps. But the what you were imagining, you're probably pretty disappointed.
Yeah. I was like, what? I thought they were going to be like.
Yeah. That's good. That's a good story.
Can you tell us a little bit about the Cherry Pie Festival? Like, how did you... had you entered before? How did that whole process go? Why did you enter? And just tell me a little bit about that.
So I started going to the Cherry Pie Festival when I was really young with my mom, and we'd always get cherry pie every year. This last year, it changed, and you couldn't like get pie anymore. You'd have to like buy it from like a vendor. And then my mom also told me how it changed, and there was a pie making contest, and I was like, oh, really? That's what sparked making me like think that I wanted to do making the cherry pie.
So did you work on your cherry pie recipe? Did you make it multiple times before entering, or did you just sort of practice?
I didn't practice. This is like the first, I was going to practice, and then I realized that we had a limited amount of cherries. Mm-hmm. I got the cherries from, do you know Mahaffey? Mm-hmm. They have like their cherry trees, and we picked our cherries.
Did you pick the cherries fresh?
Oh, that's amazing. Bryn loves that.
It was really hard to pick them, but like, yeah, we picked the cherries fresh. My dad picked most of the cherries fresh because he also entered, but like for the adult one, he picked most of them and used most of them. I used half of them, and then we bought some more from the store because we couldn't get any more because there was no more at Mahaffey.
Yeah.
I just like looked up a recipe online, the one that looked like pretty good. I watched the video, and the crust was pretty easy. And so for the recipe that like I made this apple pie for the crust, I didn't know like what to do. So I just did what I learned from the cherry pie.
Which is what? Yeah, I'd love to talk about crust because I'm horrible at crust.
So what I did was I put the butter in. I use my hands after I like wash them, and then like you got to mix it around in the butter and smush the butter pieces with your hands while mixing them around until they become pretty small, just like when you're making the crumble.
So you don't dice the butter ahead of time? You just use your hands?
Oh no, you do dice it. Like you don't like dice it. You just like I cut like little like sides off the butter and then I put it in. Then I like smush it.
Just really get in there.
Yeah, I find that I overdo it, and then it's not flaky. You know, I
overwork the butter.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, that's the thing. You just gotta like know when the butter, like in the recipe for the crust on this one, it said as big as peas, like the little pieces. So like, I almost overworked it, and then I stopped when I started them. Like,
yeah.
When I saw them like
forming into the size you want. There was also in the recipe, we're kind of jumping into the recipe, which is great. There was apple cider vinegar in the crust. Was that in your cherry pie crust, or why do you think that was there?
I have no idea. Also, when making the crust, I messed up and like I put the ice water and the cider together, like it said.
Mm-hmm.
I took the ice water and I put it on, and I thought it said put 1 and 2 tablespoons until you use all of it. So I started using all of it. Then I saw it getting really wet, so I had to put some more flour on it, and then it turned in pretty good. And then I was like, okay. Yeah. I was like, I'm glad I caught that before I put
the whole soup in.
Yeah, that amount of water really matters. It's like when things come together or tip to the other side.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Sounds like you know your dough, though.
I just saw it was going wrong because it got all slimy and was like, gosh. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the kind of practice knowledge that I lack. You know, I don't do it enough to know when to correct a mistake. Like, I think that makes somebody an expert at something, is not only they can do it, but they can correct when something goes wrong.
What I'm just hearing too, it's just like your candy making experience and the way you're making a pie, you're like really a hands-on learner. You just like dive in.
Yeah.
And I think that's such a great quality in cooking. And I guess it's interesting too to call that out in baking, because we think of baking, I always think of baking as a more precise discipline, which is oftentimes why I just sort of move around the edges of baking, because I'm not a terribly precise person. Mm-hmm. But, you know, hearing you, you know, experiment with that, I think, you know, we can sometimes feel confined by a recipe, and like you're not.
Just
that's
like,
great.
Yeah. My mom always tells me to follow the recipe, so I make sure not to do that.
Yeah.
That's good.
So this month, our cookbook is, like I said at the top, 50 Pies, 50 States by Stacy Mei Yan Fong. And it's an interesting book. She has a lot of different homes, places that she calls home. She was born in Singapore, and then she grew up in Indonesia and Hong Kong. She went to college in Savannah in the United States and now lives in Brooklyn. And I think this book is a letter, she says, I think the subtitle is an immigrant's love letter to the United States, but it's also very much, I think, a love letter to home and chosen family and a kind of chosen home. But the way the book is arranged is every state in the country has their own pie recipe. And each one is also dedicated to a person in her life that she associates with that state, whether or not they're from that state or just have some kind of association. They either went to that state together. She says in the intro that she hasn't been to every state and she doesn't know somebody from every state, but that she has like some kind of connection to each of the states, or tried to make a connection to each of the states. So it's a really interesting book that's full of crazy, crazy pies that feel kind of in line with our conversation with Levi of like testing out crazy ideas that are like that you're just sort of interested in, and they might totally not work out, or they might be like amazing. Like one of the pies, I'm from Nevada, and the Nevada pie is a all-you-can-eat buffet pie. Each pie section is like a totally different thing, and half of it's savory and half of it's sweet, and it's honestly looks so disgusting because like some of the savory ones is like, one of them is Caesar salad is the flavor of one of the pie pieces, and then the sweets is like also what you get at a buffet, like chocolate mousse, or sounds horrible, but she's kind of just like willing to go for it and go for the weird casino Nevada-ness of it and unapologetically kind of having fun with baking, which sounds like something that you're kind of doing and something that I don't feel that I do. I'm a little too worried about baking or precise about baking, like Bryn had said, to kind of experiment. And I think that that's what makes really a good baker, is somebody who's willing to totally experiment. Bryn, what did you think of the book?
I thought it was, there weren't a lot of pies that I would necessarily have wanted to eat, mm-hmm. but I loved the creativity, and it was not just the creativity in the recipes, but her artistry too. And so it's worth looking at the book because there's beautiful photographs, and sometimes just the crust work that she does is really gorgeous. And that's something that I'm a sourdough baker. And so I love the beauty of food too. And so just thinking about like how you score a loaf, or, mm-hmm. you know, what you can adorn something, you know, how you garnish something. Mm-hmm. And so she does that well. But I think what I loved most about the book was it was just so generously filled with gratitude mm-hmm. and appreciation for different places and people.
So the recipe that we chose out of this book is actually for New York State. And we chose it for a few reasons. I should probably mention what the Colorado pie is, which was a bison and Coors stew pie. What do you think? How does that sound, Levi?
Sounds really hard.
Yeah, I think you're right about what I think about the bison and Coors stew pie is that it's probably like you're navigating a lot of juice.
Yeah.
And like how to make it so that it doesn't totally sog up the pastry.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, so it does sound hard to me. But we didn't choose the Colorado pie for this. We chose New York's pie, which is an apple pie with a coffee cake crumble. And part of that, part of the reason that we chose that pie is because of navigating baking pie at higher altitude. And we are including in our kits, in our recipe kits, an excerpt from Pie in the Sky, which is a book about baking in higher altitude. And one of those effects or one of the suggestions that she has for baking at higher altitude is to use a crumble top rather than a covered top, because at a high altitude we can't get that domed fruit shape that you can at lower altitudes. So that's sort of why we chose it. And also
it's not peach season or cherry season or any other fruit. Really what we've got is citrus and apples right now.
Yeah. And the ingredients that you'll get for that kit are cinnamon, ginger, nutmeg, and apple cider vinegar for the crust. And those are going to be out, like we said, at the top on Pie Day. So this specific recipe, Levi, we talked a little bit about it, but do you have any tips for people? Or what did you do anything that was different than the recipe itself?
I did. When making the crumble, which is like the last step when I made it, I added some oats to it, a fourth cup of oats, because that's what my dad usually makes for crumble.
My crumble was a disaster because I didn't have enough butter, and I thought it'll come together in the oven, and no. Just was plain flour on top. Like it didn't, like I didn't have enough fat to kind of make that.
Get the texture.
To get
right.
The texture right. So it was really so powdery and horrible. Like your crumble is miles, miles better than mine was. Did you make any other adjustments?
I was going to make an adjustment. I was mm-hmm. going to add some white sugar instead of brown sugar for the crumble. But then I realized, well, because that's what my dad does for crumble. And he gave me that idea. And I was like, it's already too sugary, so I didn't.
Yeah. I know in that Pie in the Sky book, she also recommends, especially for like a apple, that you could cook apples beforehand.
I pre-cooked.
You did?
Yeah, I pre-cooked mine.
And so what did you do? You just sort of...
I sliced instead of cubed the apples, but peeled them. And then, so I started out with butter. And then I infused the butter with all the spices just to bring out that flavor before adding the apples. And then added the juice and... let it simmer and thicken a little bit before I put it in. And partially because I was using alternative flours that are just like more finicky. And so I wanted to, I wanted to make sure that I could focus on the needs of the crust and not the apples. And I've never pre-baked filling for pies before, but it seemed to work. I was also using softer apples, I think, because I just used what we had at home, which were Pink Lady and Lady Alice.
Oh, Lady Alice. I don't know what that is.
That's a new one. That's good.
Did you put them in a pan and like cook it over the stove?
Yeah, I did. Not until they were totally cooked, but just to get them. And then I did that before I prepared the crust, and then I froze the crust for a while. So it just had, you know, the liquid had a chance to sort of thicken a little bit before we got in. The flour that I use crisp more slowly, and I think that prevented the soggy bottom issue.
Oh,
that
the we soggy all know. Bottom.
I wish I had a good British accent, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what flour did you use for your crust?
I used einkorn, which like the first wheat. It's got a really poor gluten structure.
And what is the texture? What was the texture of your crust like afterwards as compared to perhaps like looking at Levi's.
It was pretty good. It's hard to get as flaky as, because it's more of a whole grain. But it turned out pretty good. But it's not quite like Levi's. No. Yeah. For sure, it's not. Yeah.
When I was making this recipe, when I was doing the apples, I was confused because I was like, when I did the cherries, I had to put them on the stove and do the like stove stuff.
Yeah.
On these, I just didn't have to put them in the stove. I just like mixed all the stuff together and put them in the fridge. And I was like, oh, that was easy, surprisingly.
Well, and I think too, like with the lemon juice and the sugar and stuff in there, that it probably pulled out the liquid from the apples.
Mm.
It's like almost like its own sort of preparation and softening. You know, I just think about when you make a fruit salad, oftentimes, you know, it draws all the juices out.
Totally.
Make the flavors good, and then it also sort of softens the fruit. So I think that was, whether that was intentional or not, I bet it really worked well. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they seem soft. Yeah,
seems super soft. Like, yeah. They're delicious.
Something that I really want to make that I think would be pretty cool is when I was making my cherry pie recipe, like when I looked it up, the person said I could use the same like directions for any different type of fruit. And I was thinking about making pineapple pie.
Oh.
I don't know if that'd be good.
I don't know.
I think it could be really good.
I bet.
I think with a little bit of brown sugar and like some caramelizing. I don't know. That's what
I've
comes to me.
I've never had pineapple pie.
I don't think that's a thing.
Because it doesn't exist. Yeah, I guess I've only had it as like a, you know, pineapple cake, that type of thing. Pineapple upside down cake. I wonder if the pineapple pie would be really sour.
It'd probably be really hard. Like probably hard and sour.
If you think about like lemon curd pie, or I'm just like even like maybe meringue on top of it.
I was going to say like some kind of, maybe not totally a fruit pie, but more like a, you know, you could do like a coconut pineapple cream pie.
Yeah.
Pretty, you know, something like that.
And I just want to say one of the like pies that interested me was Rhode Island pie, the coffee milk pie. It seemed pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. I went to college in Rhode Island, and coffee milk is really specific to that state. It's like, imagine like chocolate milk or strawberry milk. It's the same thing, but the syrup that you put in, that you mix in, is like a coffee flavor. And so this coffee milk pie, I think, is more like a, it's like, a, I don't know what you'd call that, like a mousse, not a mousse pie, but a cream pie, that kind of thing. But with this like subtle coffee flavor, it looks really, really good. What are you thinking of baking next, either of you?
Oh, that's hard. Probably dragon's beard candy. It's like cotton candy. If you keep twisting it, it'll start becoming like stringy, and that's what you want. It'll start becoming, and then it's supposed to be like cotton candy. It's supposed to like be like cotton candy, but it tastes like it's candy.
And what does its final form look like?
Like a beard. It looks like a beard. That's why it's called, like, it's like all stringy. One other thing that I really want to try, because I tried making it before, but I don't know if I, it's really hard, caramel.
Yeah.
Like, I tried making it. I made it. I like, actually successfully made caramel. But I accidentally, like, I was using a plastic whisk, and it burned into the thing, and I couldn't eat it.
Oh, darn it.
Horrible. Yeah. Caramel, from my viewing of Great British Baking Show, is famously hard. I've never tried. Have you ever tried to make caramel?
I have not either. I'm not a big sweet baker, but I love to partake in other people's talents.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What about you, Bryn? Any baking on the...
Yeah, I like to kind of set my sights on something and try and perfect it. So I sort of have my minds on figuring out baguettes with this alternative flour, which you can't use. It's really difficult to get a wet dough with this particular flour, because, and especially in our altitude, because it collapses. It just doesn't have the structure. And so I'm experimenting with psyllium husk, which helps bind it. So that's something you use in gluten-free baking. This is maybe like a years long project to get it figured out, but I like those kind of things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something that sounds really hard with our altitude.
Yeah.
That I think's like super hard. If you could do it, it's pretty cool. Souffle.
Yeah.
Oh, have you ever tried?
I really want to try.
Yeah.
But I've never tried.
Another thing that I want to try to make also hard at the altitude is angel food cake for that same sort of reason. Yeah. Like it'll just collapse. It needs to be that like light, fluffy thing.
Yep.
But maybe.
The challenge is fun. Yeah, exactly. Though. Like I like the tinkering.
Yeah.
It just, I have to be really good about, which I'm not generally, about only changing one thing, mm-hmm. you know, having a controlled study and taking notes.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of
oh,
times
no.
I'll be like,
and then you're like,
I'm going to try all of these, change all of these things at once. And then
you don't know what worked
I'm
or didn't.
More disciplined yeah. this time. Yeah.
Yeah. And willing to, I think willing to let it be a flop.
Yeah.
And like that is part of it is having there
as long
be
as
a
it's
flop.
Edible.
As yeah. long as it's edible. Sometimes yeah. it's not though. Sometimes the flop is, I mean, edible. I'm sure it's edible yeah. sometimes. It's just disappointing. So before we go, a teen librarian and a teen here, do we have any updates from the teen hangout?
We're continuing with our regular programming for the next couple of months, but summer is not far off. And so we're already planning a lot for our summer learning program, which is across all library divisions. So adults, teens, and children's. And so just keep an eye out because pretty soon lots of new learning and ways to be together with libraries, patrons, and other librarians and be in the community will be on offer. And we look forward to hopefully seeing a bunch of you here.
Yeah. I bet you're looking forward to summer, Levi.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to spring break in a week.
Oh, yeah. Right. This podcast is going to come out just like right before your spring break.
Will we get to see you at the library?
Maybe.
Awesome.
Thank you, Bryn and Levi, for joining me. And we'll see you next time on
the Loveland Podcast. Oh, I mean podcast.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Loveland Libcast. If you'd like to contact us about the podcast, please reach out to Daniel at daniel.tate@cityofloveland.org. That's daniel.tate@cityofloveland.org. See you next time.